Hi, could I speak to Joseph, please?
Yeah, this is Joseph.
Hi, Mr. Keith?
Yes?
Hi, my name's Jeff. The reason I'm calling was because I was looking on the internet, actually, and I was just reading a bunch of stuff, and I ran across your name, and I was just wondering if I might be able to just talk to you about your thoughts on 9/11.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad you're not upset that I called. I found your...
Read about it. About today.
Eh?
What did I say and what you read?
Well, what I found about you is I found your... I found an article about you that Gerald Holmgren had on his site.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and I was reading about you and how you were in a group that was started by some Canadian guy out of Ontario, A.K. Dewey or something like that.
Yeah, K. Dewey started, I was one of the founding members of Spine.
Yeah, that's it, Spine, yeah.
And Cozy Panel investigating 9/11.
Yeah, and I had read Gerald Holmgren's, like, interview with you, and just, like, some of the stuff you said, like, really kind of...
Was it Gerard Holmgren's interview, or was it Morgan Reynolds?
Oh, okay, I got it mixed up, I'm sorry. It was Morgan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Morgan Reynolds on nomoregames.com.
Yeah, right.
Okay, yeah, okay, and I get him mixed up with that Gerald Holmgren. He's
yeah.
Another guy that's, he had a lot of...
I've been with Gerard for a long time, too.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him. I was just, like, following along with reading on, like, 9/11 researchers and stuff like that, and he's kind of, like, he's upset at some people, I don't know, but he...
Gerard?
Yeah, he took all his research off the internet, and...
Oh, he did?
He told everybody not to, like, link to it or put it up, and then I guess a lady that goes by the name the Web Fairy...
Yeah.
She took, like, all his web pages and reposted them on the internet, and he was all mad at her, telling her to take it down.
Her? I thought they were good friends.
Well, I guess all these people that I thought that were together lately, I guess they're all fighting amongst each other.
But Gerard's all mad. I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, he's been such a pioneer in this, and I guess people attack him from all over the world. I mean, this guy's good at what he says. I've never read anything he said that I didn't agree with.
Well, yeah, like, everything that was on his website that he wrote about was, like, totally feasible and understandable.
Yeah, he's one of the no-plane leaders.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, eh? It's like these no-plane people against everybody else or something like that.
You know, to me, and I mean, I can see what excites Gerard. To me, I mean, there's no doubt there were no planes. I mean, the videos are fake.
Well, that's what
I give displays in my home all the time. I can prove to anybody they're fake.
Well, that's what, like, totally intrigued me about you, was you explained it so simply. Like, you basically you said, like, planes can't just go through a building and meld into steel frame structures.
Planes don't meld into ceiling concrete buildings, they crash against them.
Right, yeah, and then I had, I was reading how it even goes against, like, Newton's three laws of,
motion. Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that, like...
Where are you calling from?
I live in Sault Ste. Marie, Canada. I'm calling you from Sault Ste. Marie, Canada.
Oh, no kidding. Golly days. Well, you know, Key and I split up, you know. Well, there's no doubt about it. Key is under the command of his university, and whoever backs him on their website won't allow him to explain the no plane theory.
So he's not even allowed to talk about it?
He's not allowed to talk about it. They're scared to death about this.
But as far as I can understand it, isn't it very easy to understand that if you just look at the video... Or any of the
videos? Have you looked at a video of the crash? I mean, have you, you know, paused it and single-stepped it through the, as it goes through the building?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, definitely.
I mean, you obviously, you know without a doubt that the videos are fake, right? You know, on the morning of 9/11, when I was watching, when I turned on the television and watched the one smoking tower and then the other plane came in, I said right away, this is fake, and when I called my neighbor who's an airline pilot.
Yeah, I read that on I read that in the thing too. You your neighbor was a pilot, and you would talk to him about it.
Yeah, I mean, and we came to the conclusion that they didn't get pictures of the crash, but I saw it, and that this was a simulation.
Didn't his wife get upset or something?
Oh, yeah, his wife, she wants to play the hero, you know, like all her friends got killed. She was a flight attendant for American Airlines. You know, the funny thing is, we're speaking, we're good neighbors now, and she doesn't put up her things on 9/11 like she used to, because I think she realizes now that it's a fake.
Oh, so she was all going with the official story.
Yeah, she was going with the official story, and she knew, or she allegedly knew some of the people that got killed. And one of the American, and both of the American Airlines planes.
Well, I haven't really looked into it myself, but I've read there's even funny situations with the passenger lists and stuff like that, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole thing, you know, what happened is, you know, what really happened is undoubtedly the so-called ruling neocons in the United States planned this thing, and they probably have members of M16 in Britain and the Israeli Mossad that pulled it off. They had people that they got out of the country, you know, after they, to limit the possibility of one of them, you know, talking to somebody about how they rigged it. And Bush probably didn't know, I mean, he just knew something was going to happen.
So that's your take on it? Like, Bush knew something was going to happen, but he didn't know exactly
what
was
going to happen? He didn't know what, you know, the guy's too dumb to know the difference.
Well, yeah, like even like Michael Moore portrayed him in Fahrenheit 9/11, like he's too stupid to be able to pull this off.
Yeah, of course, Michael Moore, you know, is a scared shitless to talk about the plane. See, the problem is, if no planes hit the building, then the media had to be an accomplice to the thing. Had to be a direct involved accomplice. See, here's the big test you make when you look at the video. Is what I do. I like to use the video that uses Mayor Rudy Giuliani as a narrator. What happens is that when I know where the plane's going to come into sight, there's two buildings in the plane. When the nose first appears, you know, when you first see the nose, you know, you got to know where it is, and it happens in the first 3 minutes of the video. I count that as one frame when I count the frames. Or I could put a mark on the screen. And it takes either 6 or 7 frames for the plane to fly its own length. Because, you know, you can't get it exactly. And then I single step it till just before the plane hits the building, and then I single step it as it goes into the building. And it takes the same number of steps to fly through the steel and concrete building its own length as it does in thin air. Well, that's obvious fake, plus the fact when you watch the thing go into the steel and concrete tower, you don't see anything bending, anything crunching.
Like, you've basically seen, you must have seen all the footage that's on the internet, on YouTube and everything, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have all. But anyway, what the debunkers of the no plane theory say is, one guy says the reason there is no deceleration is the plane begins its deceleration at the nose. As the plane crunches and the tail just seems to go at the regular speed.
Yeah, the tail goes right in there.
Yeah. So, I mean, he says that's a debunking. And that is analogous. Here's what I make an analogy to that. Is that the building is like a giant omnipotent grinding wheel. that is the plane hits the building, the grinding wheel grinds away the plane at the same speed the plane's flying. You see what I'm getting at?
So it's totally like vapor, like it's totally taking away any mass of the plane as it's...
Yeah, right, and that's why he claims it doesn't seem to decelerate. Okay, now...
So is... Okay, sorry.
But I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, how can you even discuss something with somebody like that? It's just like a woman I know who's a mathematics professor at University of California at Irvine. She says, when I discuss 9/11 with her, she says that the World Trade Towers were designed to reject a fully loaded 707 in flight.
To reject it?
To reject it, yeah. But a 767 is bigger and more massive than a 707, so it accepted it. How can I argue with somebody like that? I'm a retired engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I worked on as an engineer, I'm very familiar with Boeing.
Well, that's what I thought. I had read that you were like an aeronautics engineer.
Well, I was an aerospace engineer, but let me tell you what I did with Boeing. It made me very familiar with it.
Uh-huh.
I designed the big shaker system. I was a lead engineer on it. I was the guy that designed the digital filter. Since the accelerometers put on these big airframes when they mounted them on this huge shaker. And this big shaker shakes the big airframe. That's a complete airplane. It shakes it through the frequency spectrum of 0 through 2,000 cycles per second. And the reason is you want to find all the weaknesses in the airframe where when it vibrates, that it builds up the resonant frequency until the plane will explode by itself. And I don't know if you remember when...
Oh, so the shaker is like the thing that artificially simulates like it's flying.
It's a test device for these aircraft. Now, let me tell you why it was done. Back in the late 50s, in the first intercontinental passenger jet was the British Comet. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
No.
And during the first couple of years that the Comet was flying, there was five of them that disappeared and nobody knew what happened to them. Until gradually, you know, they found the wreckage. What happened is these planes developed resonant frequencies and they just exploded in the air. They're flying at 36,000 feet at 500 miles per hour in the air. You know, the wings, they're vibrating. And so what happens is they have to design these airframes so that they'll damp out these resonant frequencies. Well, anyway, I, you know, became very familiar with the fragility of these airframes. All they are flying aluminum beer cans. I mean...
Long
enough to be safe, they wouldn't be able to get off the ground.
Yeah, the whole fuselage is very thin, and like you compare it like to a beer can or something.
Think of those things cutting holes in steel beams and going in the building. I mean, how stupid can you think people are to believe that stuff?
Well, that's the thing. Like, in reality, it should have, like, hit the building, crushed up in front.
Oh, yeah.
The tail should have, like, fell down to the ground or something.
Well, it should have. What happened when the plane hit it?
The wing should have broken into pieces or something.
You know, if it didn't hit it exactly right. In other words, one wing would hit before the other one would. And it would cause the plane to rotate in the opposite direction of where the first part of it hit the building. And then as, you know, the plane went, you get all these vibrations and this plane would be shaking. I mean, it would be a catastrophe. You'd have pieces flying all over the place.
Well,
maybe an engine. I don't even think an engine could have penetrated the building.
Well, did you see what they showed as the engine that was sitting there on the corner of the street on the sidewalk?
Yeah, they showed a 737 engine.
Right under the scaffolding?
Yeah. Undercover.
Undercover?
Well, anyway, I also contacted friends of mine that were still working at Boeing. And because I know that those planes can't fly very fast at sea level. And if you count the frames that it takes in that video, or any of those videos, they're all the same. It takes either 6 or 7 frames.
Mm-hmm.
And if it takes 7 frames to fly its own length, which is 159 feet, that means the plane was averaging 465 miles per hour. If it took 6 frames, that meant the plane averaged 543 miles per hour. Well, according to the Boeing experts, or Boeing, the Boeing people themselves, the engineering department.
Like the official word?
The plane matches out the specs on the plane. The power plant will max out at 700 feet altitude at 330 miles per hour. In other words, it can't fly that fast. And the plane will begin to shake itself apart at about 220 miles per hour at that altitude. So, if the plane were flying that fast at that altitude, it would have shook itself apart before it hit the building. You see, the engine with the cowlings around them are, I think, something like 12 feet in diameter on the 767. And they're built to fly at over 30,000 feet. And when you're at 700 feet altitude, the air is so thick that when the engine, you match the rotation of the turbines, the air, they can't suck the air in, and the things start acting as a brake.
Would that be the same, like, at the Pentagon, where they said it couldn't have, like, flown, like, that low off the ground?
There's ground effect. That you can't fly a plane that low on the ground, those planes.
Mm-hmm.
Because the very aerodynamics that gives the plane the lift, what happens is when a plane's flying through the airfoil, on the leading edge of the airfoil of the wing, causes the air to be glanced upwards above the plane. And what happens, it creates a vacuum just behind the airflow, and therefore the air pressure below pushes it up. Well, plus the fact, you got your airlines, which are at a slight angle to the ground, which helps give it the lift, and that thing is pushing air down to the ground, towards the ground, and so it's going to force, at 500 miles an hour at ground level, you got a vacuum above the plane, plus all this air pressure being generated by the wing.
Okay, so give them the benefit of the doubt and say, so it wouldn't even be able to last seconds at that low altitude?
No, it couldn't.
It would just, like, it would start to vibrate and break up right away if it... It couldn't even get to that level.
No.
It couldn't even get to that level.
No. You see, when a plane's coming in, when those planes are coming in, like... A 767, what's it weigh? It's landing about 150 tons.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of air pressure holding it to keep it from collapsing into the ground. And it's, usually they land, and of course it has to be landing pretty fast to generate the force to keep it lifted. And so they landed about 170 miles per hour, which is, that's pushing just about that top speed they can land at.
So even to make the turns, like they said...
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous.
So even those turns would start shaking it and breaking it up and stuff?
Yeah.
Because of, like, the G-forces or whatever?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they, like why, how can you, for people to accept this stuff, like, how is it possible?
It's hard to believe. I could never believe that this thing would last this long. But you find out people are stupid.